Thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you that there is none but you and that you are God above. Lord, you know the needs of our hearts. You know what's going on in our lives already this morning. You know the discouragement some of us carry about. You know the encouragement that we all need today. Father, we look at our circumstances, we look at our world, we look at our lives, and we wonder, is there anything better? I thank you for the assurance we have of heaven. I thank you for the assurance we have of soon to see you. I thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. Now I'm asking you, God, as we open up your word, that you would use your word to speak to our hearts. For those who don't know Christ as their Savior today, may today be that day. For those who need encouragement, may you encourage them today. Father, for those who need conviction and get right back with you, God, may they do that today. Not because of what I say. Not because of what I do, not because of the words that come from my mouth, but God made instead because of what your word truly proclaims. For you are worthy. There is none else but you, and I'm trusting you today. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Revelation chapter number 4, that's where this song comes from, the Revelation song. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 this morning, we're going to read God's word. I'm going to make a few comments about it, but God's word is very self-explanatory at all times. So I want you to take your Bibles. Now in front of you there should be a Bible in the pew there. If you've got your phones, open your phones up to the book of Revelation. It's very easy to find Genesis, Exodus, Revelation. It's very easy to find in your Bibles. You can't miss it. The very last book of the Bible. Open it up for me if you would. Let God's word penetrate your soul this morning. Revelation chapter number 4. John has been given this revelation. We learned last week that he was on the island of Patmos. We learned that he was exiled there, that he was put there because he had been preaching about Jesus Christ. And the Roman government didn't like that. The Roman government said, you got to worship the emperor. And John said, I refuse to worship the emperor. I'm going to worship the living and true God. So the Roman government said, fine, John, if that's what you want, we're going to put you on this island. We're going to burn your body, all the hair. We're going to put you in hot oil. And we're going to send you to this island of Patmos, and you're going to be abandoned there. Nobody's going to care about you. So sure enough, on that Lord's Day morning, as he sat there contemplating his ideas, contemplating his life, suddenly behind him, he heard a voice. He heard a voice of a great trumpet, and this great trumpet was God Almighty himself. And this great trumpet said, John, wake up. John, be awake. John, be alive. Be encouraged. I am God. I am the one in control. I am the one's got all things handled. John, I'm going to show you what's going to take place. And so there in chapter number 1 of Revelation, we see John's conversation, how John praises God and how John says, this is what Jesus has done, this is what Jesus is going to do. Now, we're going to skip over chapters 2 and 3 for right now. We'll come back to those, but we'll go to chapter number 4. And John is given another vision or a continuing vision of what God showed him is going to take place. John saw these with his eyes. Look at chapter number 4 of the book of Revelations. And it says this, and after this, John says, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking with me. And this is what it said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Underline that in your Bibles, which must be. These things are going to occur. He doesn't say it might take place. He doesn't say if things work out. He says these things are going to happen. Now there's only three things in life, people say, that you can count on. Life, death, and taxes. You don't always pay taxes. Matter of fact, I'm hoping there's not somebody in this room that hadn't paid taxes yet, because the IRS will be contacting me soon, I'm sure. But you're going to live. You're going to die. Those are the only two things we have in life for sure. John says here, God tells him this is going to happen. Verse number 2. And immediately, instantly, as soon as that was said, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, Bible scholars, Those of you who have known Jesus Christ, your Savior, for 1 hour or a millennium, how many of you know who this is sitting on the throne? Raise your hand if you know who's sitting on the throne. Okay. He's about to describe what he looks like. A lot of people have asked and said, well, Brother Brian, what does God look like? We're about to see what the Bible says God looks like. Pay attention. He says, he that sat upon was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. A sardine stone. How many of you ever had a sardine stone? Whew. No, that word sardine means ruby. A ruby-colored stone. He says, else, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, don't skip over the rainbow part. I know that the rainbow now has a connotation that we don't like, but the first issue of the rainbow we saw in the book of Genesis. And it was God's promise that he would never flood the earth again. And so he put a bow in the sky as a reminder that, guess what? I'll never flood the earth again. Now, in the book of Revelation, we see a rainbow again. And the rainbow was surrounding his throne. About 3 or 4 months ago, I saw the purest, matter of fact, I got a picture of it. Of the kids were right out here in the playground. I got a picture of the purest rainbow that I'd ever seen. It had all of the colors that you can imagine in a rainbow. And you could differentiate each and every single one of them. And I thought to myself, God, how incredible you are. Look at the beauty of what you created. Now this rainbow that John is seeing, I imagine it was more magnificent than that rainbow even could be. The brilliant colors, the brightness and the shining. But you know what, most importantly? The peace that came from that. The peace that came from that. He says, and I saw a rainbow, and in sight, like unto an emerald. And then he says, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So around the throne, there were 24 seats. And upon each seat was an elder. Now, it's not talking about an old man with a long beard going, eh. The word elder constitutes a leader, constitutes someone who had been through it, constitutes someone who was right there, not God, but was eligible to sit there. And a lot of people have said, well, who are those 24 elders? We're going to learn. And they were clothed in white raiment, and they had heads, on their heads were crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings. And voices. How many of you were woke up by the lightning and thunder last night? Shook the house. I mean, I literally think one struck right by the house because it shook everything. It woke my wife up even. That's how incredible that thunderbolt was. It shook the house. And John is seeing this. And he sees the lightnings and he hears the thunder. Usually when you see lightning and thunder, you escape and you try to run for cover. I remember when the very first times Danny Childers tried to kill me and my family. Now, he's not here to defend himself this morning, so I can get him. But we went out on Lake Fontana, and he went on the pontoon boat, and we were having a great time. We were jumping off, and we went and grilled some hamburgers, and we started back. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a thunder and lightning storm took up. I mean, just the wind started whipping up and the lightning was striking everywhere near us, and we went and tried to find a place of cover, and every time we found a place of cover, it just got worse and worse. Finally, we went to some poor person's boathouse and we docked up at the boathouse and we jumped off the boat and we ran in, and thankfully the house was unlocked. And we got in there and it was thundering and lightning and rain and everything else, and I was wondering, am I going to die? Danny tried to kill me. You ask him about that, he'll try to tell you. But see, the thunder and lightning was scary because I was looking at it from my human perspective. John is looking at it and he's talking about how incredible God is. See, my God controls the thunder. How many of you have a God that controls the thunder? My God controls the lightning. He says, I heard thunder and I heard lightning. He doesn't say he was scared. And then he says this, and I heard voices. And they were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now we'll come back to that. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, wow, what an incredible sight John must have been seeing. But you'll notice, as he's describing it, there's no fear. You would think now, if somebody came walking in this door and they had eyes all over their bodies, how many of you would be freaking out? Yeah, we'd be going, what's, you see that over there? Good night. What do we got? Eyes all over himself. Moms, you have eyes all over yourselves, don't you? How many of you agree your mama can see everything? This image, this beast, had eyes all over it. And then he says, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts each had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That sounds pretty familiar, Brother Alan, doesn't it? You just got through singing that. These beasts, they flew all around the throne, and they said, holy, holy, holy. Now, when you look at this picture, are you more concerned with the beasts? Are you more concerned with what they're saying? See, our world today, we get more concerned about what's going on in the world instead of being concerned with the one who's in control of the world. Who's the one in control of the world? God Almighty. Now the beasts, as they're flying around the throne, they're not attracting attention to themselves. What are they doing? They're pointing to the throne. They're pointing to the one who's in control. And they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then he says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, when they were doing that, the 24 elders fall down before him. They got off of their chairs. They fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. And this is what they said. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Those 24 elders represent the church. They represent those who have trusted Jesus Christ their Savior from the moment that he came to earth, was crucified, buried, and rose again. They represent you and I. Do you see the casting of crowns right there? Now, why in the world would they take off their golden crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus? That doesn't make any sense from a human perspective. Now, wait a minute. A few weeks ago, we talked about judgment, remember? We talked about the two different judgments that are going to take place. The one judgment where the great white throne judgment, where everybody is resurrected from the grave who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They'll stand before Jesus, or they'll stand before God, and God will look at them and say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Can I share with you, in Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about that, that verse keeps me awake at night sometimes. Matter of fact, it woke me up last night. You say, "Wait a minute, Brother Brian, are you unsure about your salvation?" No. You know what scares me? Is that when I have preached here or in Kingsport or in Fort Walton or wherever I've preached at, and I've preached that some people who have heard the word clearly presented have said, "No, I don't want it." And they stand before the great white throne judgment and they'll remember opportunities that they had. And they'll say, "Well, God, didn't I do this for you? God, didn't I feed the poor for you? God, didn't I do this?" And God's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And that scares me to think about people who are going about life thinking, "Well, I joined the church. Well, I go to church. Even though my wife drags me, I go to church. That should count for something." Or my mom and dad, man, every time the doors are open, they make me come to church. So surely I get a little bit of grace in God's eyes. No. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means trusting Him. And so John, he's writing these words and he says, okay, the great white throne judgment, which he describes in the book of Revelation chapter 20, is different from the judgment that you and I will face. When in our Sunday school class this morning, I told my class, I said, "Listen, this is the only hell I'll ever experience. If you know Jesus Christ your Savior, this is the only hell you'll ever have. This is a pretty good hell. But be sure of this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the only heaven you'll ever experience. And you'll be in hell remembering the opportunities that you had to be saved, but you denied them over and over and over again." The second judgment that takes place, or the first one before the great white throne judgment, is the judgment seat of Christ, where we as Christians will stand before Jesus and we'll give an account of what we have done for Him and what we have done for ourselves. And then the great fire comes down and does the judging. And what's left over after the great fire are golden crowns and jewels. So these 24 elders, as they fall before the throne of God, they take off their crowns and they cast them at the feet of Jesus. Now, why would they do that? Why would they willingly cast their crowns that they've earned? Why would they take their crowns off and throw them at the feet of Jesus? That doesn't make sense. You know why? Because of what Jesus has done for them. Now, can I identify exactly who these 24 elders are? Can I give you their names? No. It doesn't need to be named. But they represent the church. What will we do with our crowns? Take them to the bank and put them in the savings account and say, "Well, I'll withdraw as I need it." No. We'll take our crowns and we'll throw them at the feet of Jesus and say, "Jesus, thank you for saving my sorry soul. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you that I don't have to go to hell. Thank you I get to be in your presence. Thank you, God, for being so good." Now, John is seeing this. This is a future event. This will be taking place. Let me ask you, look at me for a minute, please. Let me ask you, will you be casting crowns at the feet of Jesus? Or will you be saying, "Oh God, why can't I stay with you?" Chapter number 5. He continues, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Now, who is sitting on the throne? You can say it. We're in church. God. God is sitting on the throne. "And I saw on the right hand of those sitting on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice." And this is what that angel said. "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" So an angel pointed to the book and proclaimed, "Who is worthy? Who can open this book?" "And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein." Has there ever been something that you wish you could open up and look inside? How many of you hate waiting for Christmas to open up presents? We don't put presents at our house under the Christmas tree before Christmas. You know why? I got three sneaky little elves that like to open up things. No, I'm sure they've never done that. I'm sure they've never opened up a present to try to find a present. But there's something about something that's closed that we want to see in. And I'm sure as John saw that book, how big it was, I don't know. But it evidently was something rather large. And John so badly wanted to see that throne, that book. And the angel cried out, said, "Who is worthy?" And nobody could step forward. Those 20 and 4 elders, they couldn't open it up. The angels that were flying around, those beasts with all the eyes, they couldn't open it up. None of the angels that God created could open it up. So who was worthy? Verse number 4 says, "And I wept much." Why? "Because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon." John lost hope. John said, "Nobody can do it. There's nobody that can handle it." Look at verse number 5. Here's the dramatic music. "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to book and to loose the seven seals thereof." He says, "John, it's okay. There's Jesus." And you say, "Well, Brother Brian, what's that got to do with me today?" It's got everything to do with you today. You know why I'm saying this? Because some of you are looking at an impossible situation right now. The situation may be that your health is failing you. That you don't understand why the world is doing what it's doing. And you're looking around for an answer. And you're looking around for something to solve the problem. And you can't find it. And you're despondent. And you're ready to give up. If you're looking at it from man's perspective, there's nobody that can handle it. But there's Jesus. He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that has the power. He's the one that has the strength. He's the one that can do it. I can't save myself. Because if I could save myself, I'd have done it a long time ago. I'd have said, "God, I'm good enough. I can do enough good things to get myself there." But I can't. Only Jesus. "And I beheld," verse 6, "and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. And as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts
And the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You know those prayers that you pray? They're being stored somewhere right now. They're being stored in a vial. And as the Lamb comes forth to open up this book, it says that the vials are opened up. Look what it says. And they sang a new song. And here's what the song said. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why? For you were slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue of people and nation. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. They said, God, you've done this for us. Thank you, Jesus, of what you've done for us. Woo, what a celebration. I know they weren't Baptists because they were celebrating. They were getting excited. I promise you, they weren't sitting there and, oh, thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! Dancing around. Yes, look what you've done. What you've done for us. You've made me a king. You've made me a priest. Look what you've done for me. Yes! Amen. The old Billy White Shoes dance. Remember that from way back when? Travis, you remember that Billy White Shoes? Yeah. I can't do it like he did. I'd hurt myself and go to the hospital, but it's okay. And I beheld, it says in verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. What a choir, Miss Shirley. Could you imagine having a choir of that many people? Wow! And this is what they said with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and as such as were in the sea and that are in the honor, heard I saying, everybody, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. Wow, what a show that's going to be. Now, wait a minute. Where do we come in? Where we come in. Matter of fact, your name is right here. Look where it says. And the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. That's your right there. Put your name right there. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, boom, there you are. You're going to see this. And you're going to be able to say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you because you are God. Amen. We're not going to have to worry about Corona. We're not going to have to worry about Lelona. We're not going to have to worry about this and that and this SARS. And no, none of that. It's going to be eradicated. We're going to take our crowns, we're going to cast them before Jesus Christ, and we're going to say, thank you for saving me. Thank you that I never, ever have to die again. And I can get a Baptist to say, Amen.
Amen.
This is coming. This is going to, because remember how I started out this morning, it says, that must be. And you know who's going to be right there with you? Jesus. But you know who else? All your friends and loved ones who knew Jesus Christ their Savior. Can you imagine linking arms, putting your arm around each other's shoulder, holding hands, and you're all saying this all at one time. How many of you have total agreement in your house at all times? We have five people in my house. We have five different opinions. How many of you are like that? In heaven, there won't be no more of that. Everybody will agree. Everybody will say, "Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow." Hallelujah. That'll make the backslidden Episcopalian say amen. We have that to look forward to. So, dear child, why are you glum? Dear child, why are you so upset? Dear child, why are you so preoccupied with the things of this world? You say, "Brother Brian, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the issues that I'm dealing with. You don't know the pain I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm suffering." No, I don't. You don't know my issues. You don't know the pain that I'm dealing with. But I know someone who does. Who is that one who knows what I'm dealing with? The one sitting on the throne. The one day I will say, "Glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who is worthy to be praised." Who is worthy to be praised. Brother Allen, would you do me a favor? Would you come back up for me? I want you to sing that song as our invitation this morning. He is the one who is worthy. When this week gets hard on you, when the situations of life start disturbing you, I want you to think back to the one who says, that He is holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Let's listen to this song again for them. Filled with wonder,
struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will.